podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Wednesday, the 5th of October, 2022. My name's Patrick Smith, live on YouTube, Facebook, and on Twitter. You can also download us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor FM, and a load more of your normal podcast providers. On this week's show, a big week of games for the Belfast Giants with confirmation of 100% return in the Challenge Cup and a barnstorming battle at the SSE against Skellefteå. I got that name. In the Champions Hockey League. We'll be looking at those three games. We'll look at them shortly. Will Cullen is our guest on the fan agenda. We'll have the news from around the league and the player of the month for September. And there's three more games in the next week with the Giants and Elite League action for the first time this season and the return game over in Sweden. Mr. McGimsey, how are you doing?
Good evening, Patrick. Fantastic effort on the name of the show tonight. Big Shed 7 fan. That makes me very happy.
Terrible pun, but you know what I mean? I was laughing as a
type. Mark Brooks would be so proud of you.
Brooksy's been a regular watcher here.
If you're watching Brooksy, like, what a puntastic name for the show tonight. Saw them a couple of times in Belfast, saw them in the Students' Union at Queen's, and saw them in the Empire.
What a band. What a brilliant band, mate.
Love them.
Yeah, I was a big fan of them myself. Mr. Neil, who's been to see a band just last night?
I was clearly at the arena watching the Belfast Giants and CHL action, Patrick. I'm excited to give you a detailed breakdown on that game. Shed 7, I think, crossed they bridged the gap between you Gen Xers and me as an elder millennial. So I think they're just very slightly before my time. But respect. Once I did a bit of Googling, I also laughed at your pun.
Why wouldn't you laugh at my pun?
It didn't hit. We got there. Should we have a klaxon for it? Or no, don't start.
There seems to be, hold on, let's check this. There seems to be something different in this. Oh, here we go. We arrived. The people who do StreamYard have sort of changed their interface here, and it's just messing with me.
Helpful.
Let's get on with the show.
Before, say hello to the Lynchies, who are all watching from Corfu.
Well, no, it's not, not all the Lynchies. It's just Karen. Karen's on holiday in Corfu.
Did not get that invite, though.
Jim's at home, man. All right, Jim, who's at home?
Karen, that's proper order. That's brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. So big hello to Karen, who sent me a picture. She was drinking a cocktail by the pool the other day. She sent me a message about that. So of course,
love
not
your
jealous
work.
In any way. Enjoy Corfu, Karen. Right, gents, let's get stuck into this this week's show. And unfortunately, we're going to start with a little bit of sad news, and we'll follow it up with a little bit of happy news. But unfortunately, we spoke about it last week, and there've been two fans who have passed away in the last week. We spoke about Sharon Miskelly last week, and also Jimmy Wills, who passed away at the grand old age of 103. Davey, we say this all the time for these guys, you know, forever in the rafters.
There's happiness and there's sadness, obviously, in this. It's terrible when people pass away and leave loved ones behind. And it's hard to believe it was only a week ago that we were sort of passing on our best wishes to Sharon and what was going to be a losing battle with cancer. She knew it was terminal. She'd already passed on, you know, that on Facebook. But to David and Casey, you know, we pass on our sympathies at this really sad time and assure them of our support and, you know, an ongoing support. And as you say, always in the rafters, these people don't get forgotten, you know, and we always raise a glass at the end of each season when we meet up the absent friends. And Jimmy Willis, 103, lived in the same nursing home as my wee granny and used to go in. And Jimmy was quite a character in that he was the only one in the nursing home with his own iPad. He had his own Facebook page and he kept up to date with the world. He didn't get locked away and Dunleady in there and just let the world forget about him. He let everybody. And that day that I was able, fortunate to go with Smo to the hospice and then take the trophy around a few nursing homes, we called in that day to see Jimmy. So that's just a few years ago. And that's just always the way you find him, in his room, sitting just like that. And I know a few of his family, and they're very sad, obviously. 103, it doesn't make it any easier when your loved one passes away, whether it be, you know, whatever age. But Jimmy led a good old life, and he was quite the character, and they're also in our thoughts this week.
Joel, you know, Sharon and the family are well known around Door 18, and the likes of Sad. You know, when we lose members of the Giants family, basically, you know, fans that we've known for years, and people you may know or you may not know, you know, but you see them around the arena on a week in, week out basis. You know, it's sad when they go.
I hate having to do these, boys, and as I know, inevitably, as time passes and the longer we spend around the community that we're privileged to be a part of, unfortunately, it's a fact of life that it's going to happen. And I feel like a bit of a parrot, you know. I say this nearly every single time, but it's something that gives me a great deal of comfort whenever I think of friends that I've lost personally. I think of wee Fee McMahon, who I spent my formative years beside in that arena, and she gave me more than one dressing down. There's the proof right there. You know, we're sitting in the year 22. It's been quite a few years now since Fee left us, and her name's still in my mind whenever I think of the Belfast Giants. That's the point. As long as there's a Belfast Giants, as long as we have this community, as long as we're talking to each other, sharing stories, sharing laughs, as long as we exist, and as long as that club exists, our club exists, those people, their spirit is alive. You know, you need to look no further than Jim Gillespie, who's obviously a fairly unique example, but their names will remain in our mouths, their stories, their sort of presence. And I hope, going right back to losing Sturdy Boone and having the corner named after him, and I know that Mrs. Boone took a lot of comfort in being able to come in and sit with everybody and have the crack and chat and laugh. I hope those families and those people know that, as you know, as long as that building stands and that we're in it, that they've got somewhere to belong and somewhere that they can go to sort of feel the spirit and feel the energy of people that they've lost. It's very, very sad. It hits me in the chest every single time we have to do this. But we are very, very lucky that we can keep their spirits alive, and it's a privilege, and it's also something that we really need to keep square in our minds and to keep doing.
Our thoughts and our prayers go out to the family and friends of both of those. And continuing on this sad theme, last week we also heard of the shocking and sad passing away of Andre Pyatt. Andre was he was only age 46 when he went. He was a cup of playoff champion. He two-time playoff champion, I believe. He won the Calder Cup as well in the AHL. And Davey, one of the real characters in the elite league. It was a real shock.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend that I knew Andre Pyatt other than we were friendly on Facebook, and we swapped occasional messages. We talked about coming on the podcast. We talked about old times. Andre was a very complicated character who had his own demons in the last number of years. They're well publicized, and he was fighting his way through those. I thought that recently he had maybe turned a little bit of a corner. Unfortunately, things have turned out the way they have, and he's sadly no longer with us. A big, big character. I was saying earlier, there's the very famous night that caused letters to be sent to the club and everything. Andre Pyatt fought more times against the Belfast Giant than any other away player. It's and it's by quite a distance. That night he had, obviously, I think it was two or three with Rustin that night, and then a few the next night against Bobby Robbins, etc.
Bobby Robbins, dislocated Bobby Robbins' shoulder that night.
Well, I think Bobby dislocated himself falling, and not giving too many. Give away players' plaudits. My one story on Andre Pyatt that I've told a number of times in the podcast is he had Mark Morrison in the train tracks on the blue line, Mo coming up the ice, and he gave him a free pass. He could have killed him. He could have buried him, and the play came to an end. And he skated around and he tapped Mo on the shin pads and sort of let him know, I could have killed you there, kid. Keep your head up. And so there's a little bit of the code in him at times. Obviously, it is his son, Oliver, the rest of the family, you know, again, we say sympathies. We could get down and mourn passing, which we should, but we should celebrate legacy as well. And he's left a lifetime of laughs and a lifetime of highlights on YouTube. And, you know, go out there and take the time now when his name's in your mind. People only die, they say, when people stop talking about them. So remember to talk about these people. Go and look at their highlights. And, you know, he's left a legacy in the elite league that'll, I think he's still leads the league in penalty minutes. So, you know, his name will be on people's lips for many, many years to come. And thoughts with the family. And I don't say that insincerely. I mean that. And I hope that they find comfort in the good memories that he's left behind.
I sure and those, you know, obviously I have my connections to the Newcastle Vipers or the Moblix Vipers and the days that I spent working with those guys. And of course Andrew Pyatt was a big part of that team, a big part of that organization. Pisey was just somebody who was so charismatic off the ice and just a real character on it. Just look at that video where he's got, you know, yes, the Vipers are losing both these games, but there's a real battle, especially at this time. You see here where he's right in the face of Steve Thornton. It was soon after that Steve Thornton, I think there was an incident between Thornton and Pyatt where there was a high stitch cracking down on the helmet. And he was just such a character. I hated him.
That's a compliment. Exactly.
Couldn't stand him. He was the sort of player who was you didn't know he was a live wire. He didn't know what was going to come next. He didn't know who he was going to go after. He had that sort of element to his game that was just remarkable. And what we don't have now in the elite league, where, you know, again, there's him against Rushton and him against, you know, he was what do you call it? Jeremy Cornish and the team when the Vipers were just a real tough team. And his passing is a shock. I was personally really taken aback and sent a few messages around to people I know who knew him well. And it's so sad that this has happened and the way that it's happened. And obviously there are reasons behind it. We know he had his demons. We know he had his troubles. And it's so sad that he is gone. But like you say, Davey, it's a time when it's a player who will never be forgotten in the elite league. He's, you know, he won a treble with the Coventry Blaze, went on to the Vipers and did what he did there, and still remained in the Northeast as part of the Whitney Bay Warriors, and then, you know, and also held that Calder Cup. And, you know, I thought it was so sad to lose a player of his caliber, of his legendary status within the elite league, and our thoughts, and personally my own thoughts and prayers go out to Oliver and all of the Pyatt's family. Joel?
Yeah, not a great deal to add, boys. Obviously, this is from your era and it was a little bit before mine, but I know the name Andre Pyatt. I've seen these videos before. I've heard these stories before. I was also aware of the man's struggles, later in life, towards the end of his hockey career and then retirement. There's a much wider conversation to be had by people much more intelligent than me around the seemingly endemic link between athletes who finish playing a contact sport and both addiction and CTE, brain injury, mental health issues. I'm not saying, you know, specifically that any of these are a direct cause of what happened with Andre, but there are, again, people more intelligent than me and closer linked to it than me saying these things. And as much as I sit here and smile at these old time hockey stories and whatever else, and it's happening again, yet again, in the NFL at the minute. You know, it's been brought to the surface again. Horrendous videos of from the Miami Dolphins, back-to-back concussions within kind of 4 days of each other. So there's a part of me that's glad that the sport has evolved somewhat, that it is less centered on that kind of impact and those kinds of collisions. Again, not going to get into it. Sorry, this is as I say, much bigger discussion to be had by people much more intelligent than me. But there needs to be a duty of care to these people after their playing career. There needs to be some sort of thing in place in the minors that you would have. It even happens in the NHL. You know, you need to look no further than guys like the Nick Rippon and the list of players that we've lost there. Adam Keefe knows all too well. Yeah, Wade Bilak. You know, I think Kiefer and Ripper were kind of friendly from memory, but there needs to be a discussion. We need to talk about this. You know, but athletes in contact sports continue to have these problems, and I don't know how to fix that.
There was an article this morning on Good Morning Ulster about this concussion injury in rugby, and an old family friend of ours, Stuart Porter, who's a coach in rugby and back home in Belfast, and he was talking about his own experience playing for. He was the first non-Ulster player to play for Ulster, and he's from Scotland. But he was talking about his own career, but also his he sadly lost his son 16 years ago, and he's not sure, and he can't connect whether that was connected to his son playing rugby and whether it had an effect on the way he is. And it's such a I encourage people to watch the movie Concussion or read the book and to see all about this. There's such an element of that just needs to be looked into and we know more about. And it's but coming back to the point, so sad that we've lost Andrew Payette at this stage in his life. And like I say, thoughts and prayers go to all the family of all three of the ones we've spoken about in the last few minutes. Before we go on to the games, and probably so people are going to say, can we move on to the game? Before we get to the games, we just want to finish with a bit of a happy note. Because it wasn't just the Belfast Giants who won at the weekend. These two picked up trophies as well. Congratulations.
Let's go.
Laura picking up the Pride of Britain Awards. If you've not seen the video of Laura picking up the Pride of Britain Award for Northern Ireland, go look it up because it's absolutely remarkable. I love it. I love it. Just Laura being Laura and just not wanting the plaudits. But you know, sometimes you have to get them, especially when you work as hard as she does. And also Dai picking up the a special recognition award for the Spirit of Northern Ireland Awards in the Sunday Life. Congratulations, Joel, to both of them.
Absolutely phenomenal, and the tonic to what has been a difficult couple of weeks around the Elite League, to be honest. I look at these as kind of shining lights of the positive impact that our sport and the people around it have. We have talked about Smallsy's contribution to the Belfast Giants. I have, you know, there's things that Laura Small does that people will never know she does, put it that way. Good things that she does that people will never know she does. I accidentally bumped into her doing a really good thing one time that she never knew, that nobody knew she did, and she told me to keep my mouth shut, and I've only just about done it there. And also Dahi, love the family, love Dahi, love how they're converting, you know, the energy of something really, really hard, really difficult to process into helping other people. It happens over and over again around our club. It's fantastic. It seems to draw those people in, really inspirational people that put me to shame as a matter of routine. Just buzzing for the pair of them.
Davey.
Nothing much to add to that. Two really, really well-deserved awards. You could go non-stop about Smallsy. I sent you the photo there, Paddy. I don't know if you've got
it. I'm trying my best to get it up there. Laura,
she'll love us for this.
Yes! Yeah, so good! Claxon, Paddy, Claxon.
Action shot there. You know, very, very well-deserved. I spoke to Laura shortly after Jim had died. And I was saying to her at my granny's funeral, I was about to get up and speak, and someone said to me, I was practicing, going over what I was going to say, and he tapped me and he said, you know, your granny was really influential and you can't bury influence. And I said to her, that's about Jim as well. You know, you can't bury influence. His influence will go on, and it lives on with Laura in spades. What she does is incredibly influential in so many people's lives. It's not one or two lives. It's in many. It's in scores, it's in countless hundreds of lives that she's touched. And a great ambassador for Belfast, a great ambassador for her family, great ambassador for our club, and just an all-round great girl.
Yeah, I totally agree. And congratulations to both Laura and the Dai on their awards. I think Laura goes on now to the Nationals, and good luck to her in that. Right, boys, let's talk about tonight's hockey.
Yeah.
Okay. The Belfast Giants undertook the final two games in the Challenge Cup this weekend, both of which against a Glasgow Clan team who are in a bit of turmoil. We'll come to that later in the show. But the first game over in Glasgow was a 3-2 victory for the Giants. It was actually Matua who opened the scoring on 5:50 before Scott Conway made it 1-1 at 11:01. It was a 2-1 game. Is that going to work?
Come on, it's a 2-1 game.
There we go.
Game. We're playing great.
It was a 2-1 game to Belfast Giants as Scott Conway made a 2-1 at 27:39 before Stephen McParnon made it 2-2 and a power play goal. And Scott Conway rounded out his hat trick 38:45 in goal. Jackson Whistle, 29 shots against, 2 goals against. Zach Driscoll, 25 shots against, 3 goals against. The new refs for Toby Craig and Daniel Ferguson. Davey, it started off with a bit of a tone set as Kevin Ryan puts a big hit in.
Yeah, actually, Glasgow the game started quite well. I think we hit the post in the very first shift. Goody, I think, went through one on none and has beat the goalie, just hasn't beat the iron. And from then, game sort of ebbed and flowed until that big hit. And as obviously injected a bit of energy into the crowd. We weren't really sure what was going to happen in Glasgow with all the turmoil the club was going through in that week. But obviously, Rayner's putting absolutely smashing there. You go. Absolutely. He's been doing this all season. Well, he's been doing it for years, but he's doing it all season long this season, especially standing people just as they come over the blue line. Seems to be almost another string to his bow now. Absolutely love to see that. And, you know, getting involved. This third man coming to start a fight over what's a relatively clean hit. Well, not even relatively clean. It's a clean hit. The guy that gets hit just gets up and skates away. He knows you come across train tracks or come across a blue line with your head down, you're in danger of getting sparks. And he did. Clan went on to take a lead there, and lucky enough for us, we were able to get one back fairly quick. I think, I don't know whether I've only cut the Belfast goals. Clan come down the left wing, get the shot, and it kind of handcuffs Wiss a bit, and it pops down off his shoulder, and you expect Wad to be there to score them. He's done that year after year after year, so, you know, he's done well. This one where Coops goes in behind the net, pops the puck back out, comes to Goody. Goody just sets Collins in, who's coming in into the hash marks, and bang, it's one each. But they came back into the game, made it 2-1. The Giants had to come back again, and then obviously we've got the go-ahead goal in the third period. It sort of killed our spirit a little bit, but it was a hard game. You know, Scott Conway scores a hat-trick and Jackson Whistle gets man of the match. I think they outshot us. We probably edged the game in terms of proper inside grade A chances. Face-offs, 50-50-ish. I think we're maybe one or two face-offs down on the night, but it was a deserved win for me to go 5-0 in the Challenge Cup. Send them the 0-8, but they definitely put up a lot more of a fight than I was expecting from them.
Joel, you know, Conn's getting that, as Davey said, Conn's got the hat trick. You know, Wiss gets the man of the match. The Giants, maybe I was a bit surprised at how much that the Clan put into the game and how much they were well in the game. I, you know, maybe I'm just being a bit complacent. I thought the Giants would have been a much stronger team, and they did prove to be the next night. We'll come to that shortly. But in this game, I thought the Clan actually did pretty well.
I often jump back from solely on the ice and look at the circumstances around certain things. If you consider the week that they had, you know, that dressing room full of players weren't really anything to do with what was an incredibly turbulent week for that club. It feels to me like that was a wounded animal who have had a miserable time going 0-7, 0-8, 0-7 going into that game, 0-8 after it, and come out there, I think, just to try and prove a point, to try and just, you know, put some positivity down. They did, to be fair to them, but also on the flip side to that, meeting that was a Belfast Giants team who just doesn't do dead rubber. You know, we're obviously talking about seedings here. We came into this game as the first team to qualify for the knockout stages of the Challenge Cup and guaranteed top of Group A, but we obviously hadn't been resolved yet, and still hasn't, I don't think, been resolved yet that we're going to be top seed, which obviously really helps whenever you get into the knockouts, you play the lowest seeded team. But relatively speaking, at this stage in the season, when you're juggling CHL, when you're juggling entering the league this weekend, it's fairly dead rubber. There's not an awful, awful, awful lot on the line. But Adam Keefe does not do dead rubber. We opined last year, or in the summer, whether with the departure of JJ Pickenich, you would still have a top line that was still as impactful. Not only do you have the guy who's going to haul the game onto his back and make things happen by himself in Scott Conway, but as we sort of discussed and as we sort of assumed and expected, Mark Cooper has really, really stepped up, and he's contributing an awful lot more after an already excellent season last year. But yeah, it's great to see whenever you go on the road and you're against a team who are playing like wounded animals that somebody's going to haul the game onto their back and kill it dead very, very quickly. Just an all-around performance late on in the game, which led into a far more complete and probably our most complete performance of the season on Saturday.
Let's actually just move on to that game, because I think, you know, there's a lot to be said. We can speak across both games, and the Belfast Giants did take on the Clan the next night, and it was a 5-0 shutout victory for the Belfast Giants. Let me just bring up the statistics for you. I'm not closed it. No, I've not. There it is. The Belfast Giants with a 5-0 victory. Five different scorers in Bast, Long, Butcher, Cooper, and Goodwin in nets. It was Jones, 14 shots for the shutout. And the other side, Zach Driscoll, 46 shots against and 5 goals against. The referees, David Good and Andrew Jarvie, 2 new ones, I think. And like you say, Joel, okay, cagey first period, but once those goals started coming in, it was a dominant display by the Belfast Giants.
And to continue that last point, just as much as it's fantastic that you've got someone who can haul a game on their back and create that difference and a storm in top line to come into probably our most complete three-period performance the next night back at home and to have 5 different scorers and none of them Scott Conway is also a really from this Giants team. Everybody just take a minute, take a breath there. But as you said, a little bit of a cagey start, but once we get into it, we really get into it. This was a total performance. Fantastic for Peyton Jones to get his first big goose egg on the board as well. And a momentum setter, the last game of 6 in the Challenge Cup groups. Really not a game that you need to be laying it all out there for with the visit of Skellefteå just a couple of days later. But how can you complain about this? Fantastic performance.
Davey, though, dominant display, limited them to 14 shots, I think is a real thing that stands out, especially across the three periods.
Yeah, defensively, really sound. Driscoll and Nets for them was just outstanding. I think they've got beat 5-0, could have been 10-0 or more, and Driscoll would still have been man of the match. I thought he was obviously outstanding. That first period, like, we really carried the play, and had we been 2-3 up, maybe more at the end of the first period, I don't think anybody would have really complained, but we stuck to it. I thought once we got the first goal of the game, it was game over. Their body language definitely changed. They were chasing the puck a lot more. We kept them fairly well the outside all weekend. Their shots were, weren't. They just didn't put as much pressure on us on Saturday night as they did on Friday at home. And obviously the tiredness of chasing the puck so much, we kept possession really well, I thought, across the game. Love Gabe Bass' celebration for the first goal, by the way. I have to throw that in there. What Joel said there about, five goal scorers and one of them not being Scott Conway cut a very frustrated figure in that third period. He wants a goal every shift, let alone every game. This guy thinks, and I love that, this guy thinks he's going to score every single time he's on the ice, and that's a brilliant mindset that he's got. And down that last period, like, his line mates were trying to find him to get him that goal. He was desperate to score, and I love that. Scott Conway is trying to lead this team in scoring, but he's leading the team by example on the ice as well, of just that compete level that, talking about dead rubbers and stuff, and I don't disagree with Joel, it's very difficult, but with us carrying those extra 3 imports whenever Peyton Jones does nets, 2 of them are having to sit out. The boys are having to work their tails off to be in the starting roster. So, that bodes well. I don't know what's going to happen whenever, CHL finishes, what way we're going to play it, but, those boys are having to put up numbers to keep it, well, not necessarily put up numbers to stay in the lineup, but having to put up the processes, the KPIs that Adam keeps setting. So, there's a guy there who's playing out of his skin, by the way, at the minute. Amazing. On the screen right now. Amazing. Mark Cooper has been absolutely brilliant, especially going into that line with Goodwin and Conway as well, has been a real big thing. I think Joel asked him pre-season when he signed, did he want to be playing on the top line this season? Was he that asked him, was it, Joel?
Yeah, we had that, yeah.
And he said he absolutely did. He could see him playing there instead of Pick, and every time he gets an opportunity in around the net, he's backing that butt in the blue paint, or he's causing turnovers behind the net, and he creates goals for Scott Conway. So, outstanding.
Did we see here what the Giants can do, Joel? Because I think there's been games outside of the Champions Hockey League. We've seen, and we'll come to the game from Tuesday night in just a second, but in the games that we'd seen against Davos and the likes and Trinich, we saw a team, yes, arguably with 2 extra imports playing on the ice, but we saw a team fluent and quick and showing exactly how they can play. There have been games in this Challenge Cup where we haven't seen that, and maybe we've seen a team playing beneath themselves. I felt that in this game against the Clan on Saturday, that we were seeing the Belfast Giants that we also saw on Tuesday.
Very hard to tell until we get, I think, with no disrespect to those Clan players, they've had an absolutely miserable start to the year, and that's even before the sort of off-ice turbulence of this week. That was a team coming in, I think, 0-8 then on their season, and the Giants just put them to the sword. it certainly shows cohesion. It shows a gelling of those teammates. I go back to that point that we talked about, David Goodwin in the Beltel, talking about just, you know, shuffling of lines, imports sitting on a rotational basis. It takes a little bit longer maybe to just find your groove with other guys and find where they are on the ice. I think we're starting to see that gel, but the real test, with no disrespect again, really comes whenever we're facing, your likes of Sheffield. The Coventry Blaze have had a really hot start. Let's see what happens if the Cardiff Devils hit their stride. It's still very early to tell, but the signs are certainly good.
I know I was one that was delighted to see a signed six import day, and especially in the CHL. I think that was really crucial. But I think Gary and Mark Garside and Jeff Baum going back together on Saturday night was a big thing. Bomber has maybe struggled to find that guy to pair up with him the same way that Mark Garside did last year. And those two just seamlessly went together on Saturday night. They really did. And, you know, that's just, it was a little bonus, I thought, for me, a little bonus performance.
Gary taught Molly knows.
that victory for the Belfast Giants rounds out their Challenge Cup group. And let me just bring up the table here. The standings in the Challenge Cup. They were the first team to qualify for the Challenge Cup knockout points and knockout stages. The Dundee Stars have joined them in that with Fife in third and Glasgow rounding up with no wins. Davey, I think you can't ask for any more of that. Six games, six wins, and 100% record. We were the top seeds last season that allowed us to host the final and come March, and this holds us in good stead for that. I think the only team that could possibly do it now is Guildford, who obviously play fewer games than we do. So I don't know how that stands, but from a Belfast Giants perspective, what was it Adam Keefe said? The goals remain the same.
The goals remain the same.
Let's go. Yeah. Look, I don't know what way the qualification works. It's very, very complicated, isn't it? Do they not play each other three times then just to make it six games? Like twice home, once away or whatever? No, they just play...
Sometimes probably. I wonder,
it's
the elite league, mate. You know what I mean? You know as well as I do. Do we still have conferences? I have no idea.
If Cardiff have played five, then they must be playing six, which means they'll play the same amount of games that we have played in our league.
No, good point.
So they must play each other three home, three away, or whatever.
Let's see.
People are now watching this in real time. Let's see. The elite league.
Yeah, go to the game center, Paddy.
I'm just on the website now. Competitions and formats. Challenge Cup.
Let's learn together.
There you go. Two home, two away. Two home, two away. One home, one away. So yeah, so they must play six. So they play more than we do.
Just a mad tournament, honestly. An absolutely mad tournament.
No, sorry. One home, no one idea. Two home. So they do play six. I don't know. Listen, let's figure that out. Anyway, Giants are top of their group.
Giants, it would take a real performance from the Guildford Flames to match where we are. They'd need to win out in regulation the rest of their games to qualify.
Who are the rest of their games against?
I've just had, boy, Paddy, if you'd like to hit the cracks, I've just had a text from Adam McKendry.
Statement from Adam McKendry.
Quick statement there from the Belfast Telegraph saying that other groups play eight games, four home, four away. So he just got to the website quicker than you, mate. Don't worry about it. Thanks,
Kendo. It's just a Challenge Cup. So Guildford are,
and it's November before that's even decided. So we'll come back in six.
Guildford still have to play home to Cardiff, away to the Blaze, home to Cardiff again, and that's it. That rounds off there. So if they drop a single point, then the Belfast Giants are, I assume, first seed, top seed. Anyway,
we'll find out after. Just before Christmas.
The highlights from Friday's game are from Clan TV. The highlights from last night's game. This is where I am. Do you know what? I'm on the beer for the first time in a podcast in a long, long time, and it's already the highlights from Saturday night's game, of course, from a good friend.
Last thing I took from Belfast, go.
That's an old one as well. Thanks to Jeff Baum's dad, Jeff Baum, for the Autoplex Custom Cup. It's becoming a podcast regular.
Is that a sponsorship?
It could be. Jeff, call us.
right, let's move on to the game.
Hang on. Whoa. Slow down. Jeff Baum Senior Day.
What does Jeff Baum's dad, Jeff Baum, do? He sells gigantic trucks to professional athletes, mate. Autoplex Customs, my man.
Does he sell medium-sized trucks to non-professional athletes?
He probably sells slightly more dinky trucks to non-professional athletes, but Jeff Baum's not Jeff Baum. Jeff Baum Sr. Sells... I have never seen vehicles that big. I don't know how you fill that with petrol. I don't even know how you get it around corners, but it's very, very impressive. Autoplex
Cost of living crisis is going to hit him hard. Hopefully not. Just quickly before we move on, good question from Alan Brett. Did anyone think the Challenge Cup format would be improved with lower league teams participating? My answer, no.
Yeah.
No, I don't. Like, unfortunately, the gap between the NIHL and the Elite League is pretty vast at this stage. It's not like it was when they had the EPL and we had the Crossover Cup, where there was, you know, we were still a lot better and we still carry more imports. But they carry so few imports in the NIHL that to bring them in many cases, it would be a bloodbath, really. Yeah. Anybody else would comment on that?
I think that's fair.
I just don't know why we just don't play one home, one away against all the other teams in the top four going to semifinals.
Far too simple.
As the first like four weekends of the season or was it whatever, everyone has it as their sort of pre-season build-up to the Elite League start. We're now at a point where there's teams in the league have played seven or eight games more than us.
Yep.
And we're still in the playoff spot, which is pretty impressive.
The discrepancy between there's two teams below us in the league right now. We haven't played yet. But even in the Challenge Cup, the discrepancy between games played goes from two all the way through to us with six. It's mad.
And we're finished. Crazy.
And we're done. Yeah, and there's others with two games played.
Challenge Cup should finish before Christmas, in my opinion. It should be all done and dusted before Christmas comes. But so be it. Right, let's move on to last night.
Sorry, no, there's somebody else. Somebody help me out with his name there.
Aidan Highland.
Yeah. Aidan, why don't they just draw two teams of five? Too simple. Too simple.
Far too simple, man.
I like your freaking Aidan, but it's just too simple.
Employ that, man.
Yes.
Exactly.
Because if Sheffield and Nottingham weren't in the group, they couldn't play each other.
But then you have to draw. Yeah, then the top four. So the bottom team of each group drop out. But that's too simple. And then
we're gonna get in trouble again.
Again. All right, again. Let's move on. Right. I'm going to do it. We're moving on. Let's move on to last night's game. And the Belfast Giants had the Swedish team Skellefteå. Yeah. Join us at the SSE Arena. A 4-2 victory for the visitors. The Giants' goals coming from Steve Urey and Sam Rupp. And Max Lindholm, Flip Salberg, and Andreas Vingerli scoring two, made a 4-2. But it doesn't tell the story because despite the fact that Lindholm put Skellefteå ahead, Urey and Sam Rupp scored early in the second period to make it.
It's a 2-1 game. We're playing great.
We were playing great. The Belfast Giants put in a right battle throughout that whole second and third period. Unfortunately, it was two late goals, 57-03 and 58-40 that were the third and fourth goal. Flip Sandberg and 47-50 in that third period. It was those three goals in that third period that Davey ended Belfast Giants' slim possibility of qualification for the knockout stages.
Yeah, look, it was always going to be a difficult group. And I think the positives that we take away from the five games we've played so far is we've skated with every team for a good portion of the game. And I think last night, much the same. There'd probably be an element of disappointment that we perhaps couldn't take at the OT. And get something a little more in the game, a little more reward out of the game. But I thought, like, we did what we had to do. We've won our face-offs. We've controlled zones. I think at times we controlled all three zones really well. Peyton Jones did well in nets. And, you know, you're coming up against a team now, the 16, 17-year-olds playing a regular shift in the penalty kill and power play. So, you know, how that stays out of the net, nobody knows. But it did, and these things go against you sometimes. We'll get ourselves in front and for a long period of the game we'll look like we might get something out of the game, but just those little fine margins and just couldn't keep the puck out of the net. I think it was on the penalty kill and you know, it just the ice tilted just for a few minutes and we couldn't get a grip back on the game and unfortunately in the last few minutes it just ran away from us. But at the end of the day, I think as I said at the start of the piece there, to go toe to toe with these teams that we'll have so far. And with another game in Sweden, obviously coming up next week, we have not done anything but positives in this group. You know, I think we'll probably look back on our penalties that we've taken at times as being a bit of our Achilles heel. You know, when you go in these European competitions, that you're going to get called on things that you don't necessarily get called on week in, week out. But that's just how it goes. And great to see Sammy coming up with a goal. Great to see Steve Ari coming up with a goal. And you know, take the positives, throw the negatives in the bin, lad, because there's nothing to dwell on there of any note.
I thought, you know what, mate, I totally agree with that. I thought that I sent a message to our good friend Aaron Murphy, who was obviously on commentary last night, and said that, you know, stranger things have happened when it comes to these games. You know, obviously this team are, I think they're top of the SHL at the moment, and you know, this is a strong team with a, you look at Lindstrom, who's come in as a heavily experienced NHLer playing in Columbus, and even played for the Maple Leafs, and San Jose, I think he played for as well. But you know, you've got these guys who are at the top of their game in Sweden, and you know, let's be fair, the expectation is that they're going to come in and make things extremely difficult for the Belfast Giants. And the Giants held their own. They held their own and more. They skated with them 5-on-5. They were, you know, they held the lead, and rightly so, for a majority of that game. And I think just towards the end, they may have just run out a little bit of gas. Some unfortunate bounces that didn't go the Giants' way. And I was absolutely gutted when they equalised and when they took the lead, because I didn't feel that we deserved that. And Joel, you know, as Davey says, throughout this competition, you know, and like, we do have one more game to play, but throughout this competition, the Belfast Giants have far from disgraced themselves.
Yeah, it goes back to that question you asked earlier, you know, are we seeing the Giants kind of hit their stride with regard to the Glasgow game? Let's put this into context, right? We skated with yet another European, I was going to say Giant, but that's a bit punny. We skated into the third period holding a 2-1 lead, and it wasn't a 2-2 game until the 47th minute. Go tonight and onto Wikipedia and look at the history of the CHL since its inception in 2014-2015. There's been 7 CHL champions. 6 of them have been Swedish. Skellefteå themselves were runners-up in the inaugural CHL in 2014-2015. Whenever it comes to European competition, there's not much that you're going to face that's going to be harder than this kind of a game. And we hung with those boys right until the death. I would look at that almost as more of an indication that this Giants team are hitting their stride than a 5-0 thumping of a Glasgow Clan that are currently tanking and in all sorts of turmoil. If we can take some of this momentum and roll it into the domestic season, which staggeringly we still haven't started on the 5th of October, I think we're going to have a lot of fun this year.
We have Will Collins waiting in the wings. I'm going to bring him in just a second. Before I do, Davey, are we seeing now with the Belfast Giants? I asked this question earlier on, but especially with what happened last night, are we seeing what this Belfast Giants team can do?
It's a very hard thing to say, because I think we've struggled perhaps to, not the compete level is not the right term, but we've struggled to bring that CHL compete level into the Fife Ice Arena, into Glasgow, into Dundee or whatever. I think we need a bit of a run of domestic competition here just to get our legs. Different rosters playing, you know, we're when Peyton plays, we've obviously the sit two guys. So there's a couple of guys sitting out every night. Lines are slightly different. You're not running four lines like you are in the CHL. So it's almost a different game that we're playing domestically. So I think now the boys have got, you know, one more CHL game. They've got obviously this weekend, and then they go back in the CHL. And then after that, it's unfortunately after last night's result, it's domestic action from the rest of the way here. And it's a very important time coming up for us, because you've got to get off this league on the right foot. So I think we'll see what this team really has over the next sort of month.
The highlights from this are available on YouTube from the Champions Hockey League, and we move on to the fan agenda. We spoke about him just a moment ago, and we're delighted to be joined by the defenseman for the Belfast Giants. That is, of course, Will Cullen. How are you doing, mate?
Hey, buddy.
Good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us. You've been patiently waiting in the wings there as we spoke about last night's game. What's your reflection on what took place last night?
Yeah, I think we, you know, we obviously skated with them, and I think that game could have gone in our favor at the end of the day. We probably played 55 minutes of really good hockey, and the last five we kind of let slip away, but it's a good learning experience for us and something that we'll definitely take to our domestic play once we start playing there pretty soon.
Obviously, you know, that's the third and final team, final opposition in the Champions Hockey League with one more game to play against them. What's your experience been like? Well, how have you felt that this competition has been for both yourself and the Giants as a whole?
It's great exposure for us and, you know, the organization as well. I honestly do think that we matched up the best against that Swedish team than we did against Trinic or Davos. I felt like they were a little hyped up more than the other teams, but I really do think that we played some good hockey last night, and it was tough to see that one slip away.
Will, how have you found the transition from North America over to the Northern Ireland, but the European competition and in our own domestic? Has it matched up well from your expectations?
Yeah, it reminds me of a lot of the East Coast League. Obviously, it's a bit less hitting just because there's 20 extra feet or so of width on the ice, so there's more passing plays to be made and just not really guys running around trying to hit you as much. So I've enjoyed it so far, and can only get better as the season goes on. Let's hope.
Yeah, let's hope indeed. Well, it's good to meet you properly and get the chance to have a chat with you. You know, from kind of the conversations that I have around the arena and stuff, everybody seems to have taken very warmly to you. You seem to be a character that's making a real kind of impact around the place, and I hope that you're settling in and having a good time so far. It's interesting that you talked about the coast. Came here from the East Coast League as part of last season. You spent 20 games with the Worcester Railers alongside former Belfast Giant Jordan Smotherman, who has since gone on to take up the head coach duties over there. Did you have much time with Big Smooth? Did you see much of him? Do you think he's gonna kind of cut it as a head coach?
Yeah, he was one of the first guys I met when I got there, and you know, he was really welcoming, and he was a great player. I mean, he had an unbelievable season last year. I was surprised that he kind of hung him up, but I mean, he got the opportunity to coach, and I think that's what he wanted to do. And I think he's going to be a good leader in that locker room, and they're going to have a successful season because of him.
Did he have anything to do with the conversations that led to you coming across the Atlantic to Belfast?
It's funny. So I actually was talking to him and Kiefer kind of same days, and then a day before he was trying to get me to sign in Worcester with him.
Smo!
Yeah.
What a jerk.
So it ended up working out where, you know, I learned a lot about Belfast from him and a lot about Adam from him, because they played together, and it was kind of just worked out.
Jordan Smotherman's name will never be mentioned on this podcast again. I'm only joking. I'm still looking for free tickets when I go to Boston to see the Sox. Last one for me, Paddy, and I'll shut up. Sorry, that the East Coast conversation always fascinates me. Just that league, it's so expansive. It's gigantic in terms of even the number of players that come through the door. If you look at that roster from the 20 games that you spent there, there's over 60 names that have put on the jersey and played at least a game in Worcester last season. Whenever you come over here, come to Belfast, and you suddenly end up in this tight-knit group of 20-something guys, and you're spending every day together, and it's a season-long thing, that must be really lovely to sort of form those bonds. It must feel a little bit more settled.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, last year, I played for four different teams, and, you're in one locker room and in another locker room meeting guys every day. So this year, I really wanted to be in more of a tight-knit group, and that's definitely what we have here. The guys are great in the locker room, and it's a lot of good crack.
Nice, there it is.
We'll go to some of the questions we got. We asked for questions from the fans on Twitter and the likes. And if anybody watching wants to put a question in on YouTube or Facebook, please do. We'll start with Ram Beaven, who asks, as a defenseman that enjoys to jump into the play, how are you finding the Olympic sheet? Do you prefer it?
Yeah, no, I definitely prefer it. It's a lot more fun. There's a lot more time and space. It's just knowing when to go down and when not to. That's a little bit harder, just because it's so much bigger.
Yeah, I think a lot of players, you know, you may have had some experience on the Olympic sheet, but when you start to go as well, especially in the elite league, there'll be such a difference when you go to some other place. You've been to Fife already. You're in for quite the experience when you come to Manchester. I'm sure the coach will warn you about that. But the different styles of games that have to be played across the elite league.
Yeah. I mean, Dundee's Barn comes to mind, and obviously Fife. They're pretty similar. They feel a little bit smaller than when we play at home at our rink. I'm looking forward to getting around the league and seeing what's out there. I know when we were on the bus one time, Goody was just looking at all our reactions when we were going into Fife, and he was kind of chuckling. So,
yeah, that seems fair.
He was like, just wait, boys, just wait.
We're gonna get in trouble again.
It's when these lads get the experience, and then they just get the new guys in, and just like I say, wait till Manchester.
Yeah, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Adam Beck, how have you? Speaking of Fife, how have you found the travel? The Scottish teams having to travel by boat.
Yeah, the boat hasn't been too bad. It's usually just the early morning wake ups. Those are the hardest part. And then you're traveling all day, and if you don't have time to get to the hotel room and take a nap, it's kind of tough to get ready. But we've been doing it so far, and so far so good.
One more before I go back to Davey is why number 55 comes from Tommy Brown.
So in high school my number was 5, and I kind of just always liked the number 5, so I figured why don't I just double it up for my start to pro in Europe.
Fair enough. Davey?
Talking of pro in Europe, how has the Northern Ireland, I'm always fascinated as to how the players settle in the RWE country. Do they enjoy it? Have you got a chance to look around the city or further yet?
Yeah. I've played some golf on the North Coast the first couple weeks I was here, and that was really cool. The country itself is just beautiful. I mean, besides all the rain and the rain, it's really nice.
You need the rain to make it green, mate. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. But I've really been enjoying it, and I've been settling in pretty well. And like I said, like the guys are great, and the facilities are unbelievable. So it's been a good adjustment for me so far.
Just before you go, and you talk of facilities there, and you'll have played in rinks all across North America, and you've played in nice rinks, but going to Davos, going to Ossolari Trinets, that some of their facilities are just unbelievable to experience.
Yeah, Davos sticks out to me personally. It's just like you're in like the mountains, and you know there's this old cathedral wood barn that you're in, and you know it smells like wood in there. It was really cool. Not a great game for us, but it was a cool experience.
Taff was showing me through his phone there the pictures of Trinets and the like swimming pool in their locker room. Different level.
I didn't get to see that firsthand, but yeah, I did see some pictures and stuff, and yeah, it was pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
Really quickly, we'll go on later in the show, I'm sure, and we're heading into that kind of time of the year again. It's almost Friendship 4 season when we kind of shine a light on the NCAA, and we're really privileged in Belfast to have the only NCAA, you know, regular season tournament that happens outside of North America. Well, you played your college hockey at Bowling Green, which I believe is where Todd Kelman went to school.
It is, yeah.
Many decades before you were born. But yeah. you finished your final season ranked 14th in the nation for assists and 5th amongst NCAA defensemen for points per game. And you got a nod for WCHA Defensive Player of the Year, selection to the ECHA First All-Star side. So it definitely went your way on the ice, and you could really see from an early age there that you really liked the offensive side of the defensive game. But what was the college experience like for you? You know, there's different routes to go down whenever you're looking for a career in hockey. But it seems to be a really cool way to sort of earn your stripes, get your degree, and head on into the pro game. Was it a great experience for you away from the ice?
Yeah. I was really lucky. My class, we had 12 guys in it, and we all stayed together the 4 years. So
nice.
Those 12 guys, I still talk to every day, and you know, they'll be my best friends for life. Really cool experience, because I know a lot of colleges where guys will go in as freshmen with their class, and there might be 2 to 3 of them left towards the end of it because it's either not working out or just not a good fit for them. But it was cool. Even the guys that it wasn't working out for, they liked it so much that they wanted to stay and be part of it. So it was a really cool experience, and definitely helped shape who I was as a person as well.
Love that.
Couple of questions from Twitter next before we wrap it up here. Well, you know, Scott Cameron's asking, who's been your favorite linemate? Who's been your favorite pairing so far this season? Who have you enjoyed playing with?
I enjoyed playing with Bomber when I got to play with him, but I've really enjoyed playing with Rainer. Just his defensive abilities are, you know, unbelievable, and being able to play with a guy like that every night, it's a lot of fun and makes my job a lot easier.
And the final one comes from Shauna, which is just very simply, what's the most surprising thing about Belfast so far?
The most surprising thing. I thought I'd be able to understand people's accents a little bit more than I do. But there's definitely some people that even for example, Dicko, Andrew Dickinson. When I'm talking to him sometimes, he'll say something, I'm just like kind of nod. I'm just like, yeah. And he's like, looking at me like if I'm going to answer or not. I'm just like, dude. I'm like, dude, I don't know what you just said, man.
Yeah, I live about 30, 35, 40 minutes drive from Dicko's hometown, and even I kind of nod when he says stuff.
Yeah.
There's a lot of accents in a very small place.
Yeah. I was like, everybody speaks English. It's going to be easy, but that was probably the most surprising thing.
So we're going to – last question. We're going to go into league action this weekend. We've got, you know, obviously away to Dundee, at home to the Guildford Flames, and then next Tuesday a bit of a road trip all the way to Sweden. How's preparation going for that?
We start practice tomorrow, and you know, we're just gonna keep giving her like we've been doing since the start of the year. Our practices have been really good so far, and they've been getting us ready for the weekend, so we just got to come in with the mindset of we got to go to work every day and do our job on the weekend, and hopefully good things will happen from there.
Fantastic. Well, listen, mate, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for coming to join us.
Nice to meet you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Great to have you on, mate. Maybe we'll chat to you again later on in the season.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you, guys. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Thanks, Will.
I nearly forgot something there. There's one more thing.
Okay.
One more thing before you go. I'm just going to bring it up here, if I can find where I put it.
We don't even know what this is, to be fair.
No, I'm interested.
Player of the month for September, the nominations came in.
Yes.
And your nominees are Scott Conway, number 55, Will Cullen. Number 67, David Joubert. And number 89, Kieran Long. The voting has opened on twitter.com/AVFTV. You've got until Saturday night to cast your vote between one of those four, who's going to be the first recipient of the View from the Bridge Player of the Month award sponsored by Phonacab. What we normally do when we have one of the nominees on we come to you last, Will. Davey, yeah. Who's your choice?
Why do I always get to go first? look, I'm going to vote for Longer this month. I think a guy who's always trying to prove himself, always trying to get himself up the line, always trying to break into that top six. And at times in this first month of the season, he's broken into the top six. He's perhaps scored goals that we didn't expect him to score, but he's also scored a few goals when he's got in that opportunities in the top six. Obviously, Collins has come up with hat tricks. You know, good work on the back end from Will Collin and David Gilbert coming up with a couple of crucial goals as well. But I'll go for Longer this month.
Joel?
You were saying a real spot here, Patrick.
No, it's awkward. Isn't that awkward, Joel?
obviously, whether he was sitting beside me in a little box right now, staring into my soul or not, I'm obviously going to encourage half of you to vote for Will Collin and the other half to vote for Kieran Long.
My vote has been cast, and sorry, Will, I voted for Kieran Long. I think he's been absolutely phenomenal. I think some of the way he's been playing in the Champions Hockey League, he's been coming up with some fantastic goals in the Challenge Cup and showing exactly the sort of player that he can be. And I think that there have been times over the last number of seasons since he's come from Manchester that maybe we haven't seen that player that we'd seen in Manchester that we thought we were getting. This season so far, we're seeing that Kieran Long. Will, who's your vote going for?
I'm going to go with Kieran Long too. Hold fast, barbershop. He gave me a haircut today.
Nice.
So, Kieran
Sick
Long.
Sick fades, bro. Sick Hold fades, bro.
Kieran Long.
Absolutely fantastic. Well, listen, Will, thank you for that. You can cast your vote on twitter.com/AVFTB all the way until Saturday. Thanks to Phonacab for sponsoring the award, as always. Choose your name to go on that trophy as the first winner of the View from the Bridge Player of the Month award for this season. Will Cullen, thank you very much again for your time,
right,
and we'll catch
you
again.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
Cheers,
Will. Right.
Thank you.
Big thanks to Will Cullen for his time. Sort of,
Paddy, you made Cully sit there while we all talked about Kieran Long. I hated that.
We did.
Yeah,
we did. That's what happens.
Because I usually go for the player it's on, don't I? But
by the end of this season, Will Cullen will have a Player of the Month award. Absolutely love that guy. Love having him as a Giant. And I actually mean it. Like, there's a lot of conversations between kind of staff, between whoever else. Everybody talks about the positive impact he's making just away from the ice, just the personality and the character. And I love the way we recruit. We don't only recruit good hockey players, we recruit good people, and it's showing this year.
I think it really is. And one of the things especially comes to my mind in the few games at the start of the season that we've seen him play is the play that he made jumping in as a defenseman and stick handling around. Was it the Dundee Stars just stick handling his way through them before feeding Joubert?
Yeah,
goal.
It was
absolutely stunning. The guy knows how to handle the puck, knows how to be that defenseman come jumping into the play, and more of that to come, no doubt, as the season goes on. Big thanks to Will Cullen for joining us, and thanks to everybody for sending in their questions as part of the Fan Agenda, brought to you by our friends at Belfast Giants TV. Julie, it's been a bit of a busy week for news.
I sat down to write this evening at about 7 o'clock. And what? I ended up absolutely scrambling to get ready. I just didn't even know where to start to cover the week that has been in the Elite League. Let's start, though, with your scores and your action around the league as Davey sits back, kicks the legs up, and chills himself.
I can't believe you just don't make this up on the spot, but go ahead.
Right, go ahead. What were all the scores this past week?
If you want to know what happened this week, check out eihl.co.uk. There you go.
We'll see you here next time. This past week in the Prairie Sports Elite League, Davey McGimsey's favourite segment, the Coventry Blades took down the Cardiff Devils 5-3 at the Sky Dome on Thursday, but bounced back in the return fixture on Saturday in Wales, winning 3-2, while the Sheffield Steelers got revenge on Nottingham's big win last week with a close-fought 2-1 win in Yorkshire. Your Belfast Giants became the first team to qualify for the knockouts and have since been joined by fellow Group A team, the Dundee Stars, with one fixture between Glasgow and Fife remaining. Things aren't so clear in Groups B and C, as we've looked at, with the number of games played varying between 2 and 5, but it's worth noting the Cardiff Devils sit bottom of Group B with 4 losses and just 1 win. you really hate to see that. In league action, last Friday, the Panthers downed the Stars 6-2 at home to open the week. The Stars then returned home to face the Storm on Saturday, salvaging a point from a 5-4 overtime loss, and the Guildford Flames travelled to Kirkcaldy to take 2 points from the Owl Barn, beating the Fife Flyers 5-3. On Sunday, then, the Blades lost 3-2 at home to the Sheffield Steelers. The Devils got things back on track with a 3-0 win in Altrincham, and the Flames took all four from Fife with a 5-3 win at the Spectrum. Here we go. Okay, so quickly, let's obviously, I don't think there's anybody in the league that's not going to be across the situation that has evolved out of Glasgow over the past week. But the latest on that is that the Glasgow Clan will appoint a new GM after the suspension of CEO Garth Chambers and head coach Malcolm Cameron last week, as the fallout from the signing of Lassie Isavirta continues. Club chairman Neil Black said, "I have now concluded my internal investigation into the events which led to the suspension of both Malcolm and Garth on Thursday, the 29th of September. Malcolm Cameron will return to his role as head coach, reporting to a newly appointed Clan GM whose role and appointment replaces that of the current Clan chief executive. We hope to be able to confirm the Clan GM appointment in the upcoming weeks. In the meantime, the head coach will now report directly to the Clan chairman until the Clan GM appointment is confirmed. The club sincerely apologizes to anyone upset by recent events." I don't think it helps our stupid voices on top of this. I don't think we need to probably drag it out, but this was a terrible, terrible move from the get-go. I'm genuinely staggered it got as far as it got, and the handling of the situation since has left Clan fans, hockey fans, and just decent people extremely angry, and rightly so, boys, since the news broke last week. It's also not clear from that statement if Garth Chalmers stays with the organization or is out, or it didn't really tie much up for me.
There's nothing much we can add, mate. It was a badly handled event that sort of shocked a lot of people right across the league, never mind just the Clan fans, who made their own feelings very, very clear, and rightly so. We don't know the workings behind the scenes. We don't know how they got to this point. You know, it's baffling that you reach a point where this can happen. I've known Garth many, many years, and I know how hard he works for that organization. Mm-hmm. A mistake has been made here, and people will suffer consequences of that. And that's just the way the organization will run. Badly handled by all, and hopefully it can be just dealt with, and the Clan can move on from it.
A week of news that the league really didn't need.
Not at all.
Fair play and respect to those who spoke out and those who made their feelings heard. It's a shame that it had to go that far, but there was a lot of sensible heads and a lot of quite justifiably angry heads on social media this week. Mm-hmm. But hopefully soon we'll be able to just talk about ice hockey and not this kind of thing. Anyway, speaking of... they may be calling them league-wide. Suddenly, they may be calling them messages, Patrick. But I think
I've seen this. I saw the Cardiff Devils trying to get away with that last week.
Suddenly, they're messages, but we all know what they are. It's time for statement update, Patty. EIHL board member, Cardiff Devil. Please don't start it again. Please, because Davey stares into your soul. It's the sky.
Get that klaxon going.
I heard that in my sleep last week.
The statement slash member, message.
Cardiff Devils GM, former Bracknell B and friend of the show, Tim Coleman, appeared in a video addressing last season's playoff finals weekend, saying, quote, "Last season we increased ticket prices and you guys called us out on a mistake we made." Hit the klaxon there. The league admitted they made a mistake. I'm talking on behalf of the whole board when I say that we hold our hands up and we screwed up. We got it wrong. We overpriced it and you guys voted with your feet. We had lower numbers than expected. He then goes on to say that this year we'll see the return of concession tickets as well as early bird price discount and family tickets before apologizing on behalf of the league and the board. Todd is, still friends with all of us. I really like seeing Todd during the season. One thing that I've always liked about his style, whether he was Giants GM, even in Cardiff, even in his role with the league, is that they front up whenever they need to front up. Todd has always had a really clear, concise way of communicating with people. I actually really like this. I like the way that they addressed it and handled it. I didn't like that the tickets were jacked up last year, and I think they've had no choice but to pull them down because nobody went. But I do like the way in which they've sort of addressed it, didn't try to muddy the waters or play small p politics, whatever. I don't know if he's anything to add about playoffs. happy enough.
No, I think the lessons seem to have been learned from my point of view, and hopefully that they can be resolved and we can have a better crowd at playoffs, because playoff weekend is obviously unique, the way that we run it and in the hockey world, really. And it's something that is the... it's the Blue Ribbon event at times. Obviously, the trophy maybe is not as prestigious. It isn't as prestigious as the league trophy, but the weekend as an experience is about the fans. And we said this last year, that it's not the whole weekend and playoff weekend as it is, it's not about the games. It's not about what happens on the ice. It's more about the fans. It's more about the experience of the fans and the ability of the fans to get together at the end of the season, have one big party. And that's, I think that was lost last year, and hopefully we get that back.
Before Davey has a fight with you, we're going to...
Go on, Davey. You don't agree with that?
Do I agree with that? Not in any way, shape, or form.
Why?
I couldn't care less whether I spoke to anyone that whole weekend. It's about winning the silverware, and that is it for me. And the third and fourth place game, obviously.
It's about hammering the over on the Sunday.
And then picking the silverware up. It's hanging banners. That's what we're in. That's what they're in the business of. I don't care if I, you know... high five somebody from Sheffield with a spade in the face.
Would you high five somebody from Sheffield? Is there anybody from Sheffield you would high five?
Plenty Dave with Brandt? A spade.
Hitchy
would catch it.
Anyway.
he doesn't like hockey anymore.
This good evening, Hitchy. He's not watching. This week also saw a highly anticipated message from Manchester Storm GM Ryan Finnerty. Paddy, hit the Clarkson. We had a statement from Manchester disguised as a message. He's gone upstairs, but he hasn't gone away. Ryan Finnerty said, do you know what? Actually, it pretty much just talked about the installation of their new big screen at the start of the season, a few injuries.
Big TV from Curry's.
Thanks for the support.
They've upgraded their 21 inches to, yeah.
33-inch big TV from Curry's going down on that empty wall.
To be honest, the fact that wasn't a monstrously dramatic statement, actually was a tonic after everything that has gone on over the past week. But the Storm did then go on to unveil their new signing as Anthony DeLuca makes a return to the league after parting ways with the Sheffield Steelers last season after catching a wee suspension for failing a urine test. A routine urine sample, found something that shouldn't have found. Don't know if you can even say it on a family show. I don't know.
He's a good player. He blows hot and cold sometimes, but he's a good player. Cracking.
And in Dobbs news, Derek Angeli has been fined for a high sticking incident which occurred during last Friday's game.
It's been a while.
Dobbs. So that's
stop it. There we go.
Is it what, Joel?
Is that Seth Bennett or is it Todd Kellman or who's that voice?
It's Todd Kellman.
Is it Killer?
Todd Kellman. Seth Bennett does the acoustic.
We do have an acoustic one somewhere. You can close the DOP segment with the acoustic one. Derek Angeli has been fined for a high stick and incident which occurred during last Friday's road game in Glasgow. DOP's notes that the incident will be recorded for the remainder of the season, so it could go against him being a repeat offender. Trevor Cox received a one-game suspension for a spearing incident with Nathaniel Albert last Saturday as his Cardiff Devils hosted the Coventry Blaze. That suspension was already served as the Devils travelled to Guildford last Sunday and won 3-0. And this is the Trevor Cox spearing incident, I believe.
It is the Trevor Cox spearing incident. I think Cox went on to score the winner in this game, didn't he?
I don't know. don't have it in my notes. It was initially a slashing call that was given, and they came back and said that the hit on Halbert had a massive potential to injure and counted as spearing. So he served the suspension on the Sunday. The Devils went to Guildford and beat the Flames 3-0. So it hasn't really affected them other than the fine and having him sit a game out. But that's one that's making us all wince there. Not very nice.
That's not very nice at all. One game for that?
One game, because do you know what's crazy about it?
Premeditated.
Dobbs said no history because it only counts the start of the season. We're only a couple of weeks in. It was like he doesn't... There you go. He's neither been suspended or fined during the 22-23 season. Come on.
Of course he hasn't.
A couple of weeks in.
Says, this is Anne spearing.
It is.
Come on, guys.
This we're going to get in trouble spearing. Again. I'm already catching passive-aggressive tweets from Luke. Let's not go any further.
Look at that. Who typed that up?
That's I was only having the crack.
Neil Russell will be looking at that thinking it was absolute disgusting and spearing. Anyway, yeah, it's I think from my point of view, that's premeditated and I'm surprised you only got one game, Davey.
It's ugly.
Yeah, hey, great. Yeah, that's we know only too well from some of the guys closer to their own parish. You know, getting one in the box isn't pleasant. Or in and around that lower groin stomach area. That's just cardio. You can't be using your stick like that. Not a lot to add to that. It probably warrants more than a one night off. And if he did go on to score the game winning goal, well then, you know, why wasn't it reviewed? Yeah. They review other things.
One of those, isn't it?
Last thing for me, tomorrow night, Thursday at 7:30 p.m. join Aaron Murphy and co on Premier Sports as the Sheffield Steelers host the Guildford Flames in your Premier Sports game of the week. And that was a slightly longer than usual news, Patrick Smith.
Very enjoyable one. Thank you very much.
You Claxons in there. Fantastic.
Right, let me see. Oh, I'm actually going to add one more thing in the news before we move on. And I have, before I get some sort of text message, I have checked this from the people who issued this. The Belfast, as of tomorrow, we are allowed to break this embargo. I've got it in writing.
I don't like the word embargo.
It is embargoed, but I've been given the thumbs up. Tomorrow marks 50 days until the start of the Friendship Four. Let me just bring up there's a photograph. There we go. There's a photograph. The Lord Mayor of Belfast, Councillor Christina Black, will begin the official countdown for one of the winter's most anticipated sporting events. 50 days until the Friendship Four ice hockey tournament returns to Belfast. Of course, the teams that will be there will be the UMass Lowell Riverhawks, the Massachusetts Minutemen for UMass, Quinnipiac Bobcats, who are returning, of course, and Dartmouth Big Green. They'll be together competing for the Bellpot Trophy at the SSE Arena over Thanksgiving weekend, 25th and 26th of November. Get yourself tickets. The tickets for adults for a 4-game pass is £30 and £15 for children. This year it's sponsored by Harness. Davey, we know how great this tournament is. 50 days as of tomorrow. It's a weekend that I've already got my flights booked for, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Exciting times. We're so fortunate to have this in Belfast. I love the trophy. I love the history behind the trophy. And I love that these guys come to our country and get the experience a bit of our hospitality and get to meet the kids and share a bit of their experiences with other people here as well as playing their hockey. And it's an unbelievable standard of hockey. And if you're watching, you've never been to the Friendship Four, book yourself a ticket, book Friday afternoon off work and get yourself down there and take in every game that you can over that weekend. It's going to be brilliant.
There in that picture there, you see Eric Allen from UMass Lowell Riverhawks, Sarah Fraser from the Quinnipiac Bobcats, who I spoke to last time they were here, Lord Mayor Belfast, Councillor Christina Black, Steve Trachtenberg from the Massachusetts Minutemen of UMass, and Tiffany Sykes of Dartmouth Big Green. The games will be 25th of November, Friday 25th of November. Dartmouth will take off Quinnipiac at 2 p.m. And the Minutemen will take on the Riverhawks at 7 p.m. Of course, on Saturday, 3 p.m., the third place game. And that Bellpot final will happen on Saturday, the 26th of November, 2022 at 7 p.m. Joel?
I am stoked. I talk a lot about how my favorite type of signing in the Elite League and the change in the type of player that's recruited to the Elite League. It was formerly a league where maybe guys who have had a decent career come to get a degree and kind of play a year while they prepare for retirement. These young, hungry athletes who are coming here now, your Darcy Murphys and your never ending kind of string of them.
Scott Conway.
Scotty Conway, indeed. Jeff Baum played the Friendship Four, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He did.
Jeff
Baum's son, Jeff Baum. Yeah. I'm really excited. Can't wait. I said it earlier to Will Cullen, it's a privilege for us to be able to host NCAA regular season hockey in Belfast, Northern Ireland. It's absolutely nuts whenever you think about it. If everybody who wanted to be there in Europe could click their fingers and be there, that barn would be absolutely rammed. Really, really cool thing to be able to do. It's the interventions that happen away from the rink as well. The school visits that not only benefit the school kids themselves, but also the young athletes that come over. You know, they talk for years about how that's kind of shaped them. For a lot of them, because they've grown up as pro athletes, it's maybe the first time they've been overseas, and it's a real a real formative experience for them. I just think it's absolutely phenomenal, and that everybody involved in keeping it alive post-COVID should get a big pat on the back. Can't wait.
Of course, this is the first time this will be competed for since 2019. Before we start to wrap up the show, quiz time, boys. There have been five winners of this Friendship Four.
No.
Who were they?
Are you asking?
I have them written down. Yes, go first. Who are the five winners?
The boys on the left of the picture there won the first one.
Let me see. Yes, the UMass Riverhawks were the first winners of the Friendship Four in 2015.
Joel, on the eight, your turn.
Clarkson.
Clarkson won it in 2017, and they brought their band.
Davey. You're Googling. Look at him. Look at him there. Ridiculous.
I have no idea. I'm not even going to Google. I have no idea. Couldn't tell you.
Boston College.
I'll give you a clue.
They came but didn't win.
Sorry?
Boston College didn't win on the Bulldogs.
No, they came, but they didn't win.
Should I just give you them?
It yourself. We've been on for an hour and 20 minutes, so it's probably best.
I'm going to go to bed, to be honest.
2015 was UMass Lowell. 2016 were Vermont Catamounts. 2017, you mentioned them, were the Clarkson Golden Knights. 2018, Union College. And 2019 were the Northeastern Huskies. They were the last winners. They have Friendship Four, 50 days away. And get your tickets for that. £30 for an adult for a four-game pass. £15 for a child. And the Belfast Giants returned to action in the Elite League this weekend. Dundee Stars away Saturday at 7 p.m. at the DIA. If you're not going over, you can get that on Stars TV. And then the Guildford Flames make their first visit to the SSE Arena on Sunday at 4 p.m. And you get that if you're not going down to watch the Belfast Giants start their quest to retain once again the Elite League title. If you're not heading down Sunday at 4 p.m., you can get that on Giants TV with Mr. Kitchen. And then on Tuesday, it's off to Skellefteå in Sweden to face them in our final CHL game of this campaign, Tuesday of next week at 6:05. And you can get that with Aaron on Free Sports. Any other business, boys?
Nope. Nothing? We've ran an hour and 20.
We have run an hour and 20. We know you used to do longer than this, boys. Nothing for yourselves. Well, in that case, then we'll start to wrap up the show. Big thanks to Will Cullen for his time and joining us. Thanks to everybody who sent in questions from the fan agenda. And the Belfast Giants, as I said, Dundee away on Saturday, 7 p.m., Sunday at 4 p.m., the Guildford Flames at home at the SSE Arena, and Skellefteå away in the CHL on Tuesday at 6:05. Big thanks to everybody for sending in their comments and their questions. You can get us at AVFTB on Twitter, on Facebook. You can get us on kingdomofthegiants.com. I should do a little bit more of the TikTok thing. I haven't. I'll see what I can do.
It's a brave foray into TikTok you're taking, Paddy. Fair play to you.
It is. You know, the tickety tocks. I'm all about the tickety tocks.
I'm impressed. Yeah. I'm impressed.
Keeping it with that. Get us on Instagram as well. Big thanks to you two, gents. Have a good week.
That have been putting their messages on all night.
Yes.
Down here.
Thanks
I don't know why. I don't know how to change right. Down here. No other way. But all the people that have watched and interacted tonight, thanks very much.
Absolutely. And thanks to you, Davey, and you, Joel.
Thank you.
It's been a good week for the Belfast Giants. Some good games we've played. We look forward to this forthcoming weekend. And wherever you are, we hope you enjoy your hockey. We'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.
Sports Social Podcast Network.